Thank you. Oh, you did some more. Oh, that was nice. Now we have enough papers. I forgot you got a photocopier. Really good. Thank you. I think we'll just ask the Lord to bless our time together before we open His Word. Our gracious Father, we are thankful for all the exceeding great and precious promises we get in Thine own Word. We thank Thee, Father, that we have a God who really, truly can do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think. We just pray for every soul bowed here before You today. Lord, strengthen them in the faith. Strengthen them in Thy precious Word. If there are anybody here who has not come into the personal good of John 3:16, we pray that You'll open their hearts and their eyes to their need of salvation. Now we just ask Your blessing on Your own Word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Have you ever had what seemed to be a very powerful coincidence happen to you? Very powerful coincidence. Perhaps someone you met, or maybe it was a surprising event that happened to you, and you got thinking, wow, and it happened to you just at the perfect time that that happened. Very surprising event. And as you thought back about the circumstances, later in the day, you thought, wow, that was interesting. That was interesting. I think that was more than a coincidence that I happened to meet so-and-so, or that event happened to me. And you thought, wow, that was almost scary. Well, the Bible confirms that the Lord does step in on behalf of His people, acting with perfect timing for certain events in our lives. So let's look at our first example of this from 2 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to think about the woman's story. 2 Kings chapter 8. I've put the reference down in case maybe at home you'd like to go over this on your own time, but we'll read that passage from 2 Kings 8, the woman's story. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine. And furthermore, it will come upon the land 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass, at the end of 7 years, that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, "Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son, whom Elijah restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left until now." Wow. This woman, by the way, this woman's story, by the way, the woman doesn't give the woman's name, but in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, she is called a great woman, a Shunammite. So 7 years she spent away from home. That's a long time. And she spent that time in enemy territory with the Philistines. She must have wondered what's going on with her home and her property those 7 years with the Philistines. But God was faithful to her and met her needs in the land of the Philistines also. But now, though, the 7 years were up, and it doesn't seem that Elijah told her what to do next. But she decided to return to Israel, yes. And what would her land be like now, she must have wondered. What if it were occupied by an enemy? She best go to the king first and check with him. But the king, at that time, was a wicked man. Jehoram was Ahab's son. And in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, Jehoram planned to murder Elisha. That's the kind of guy he was. As the Shunammite woman got closer to the king, she recognized Gehazi. He too was a wicked man. Gehazi coveted Naaman's wealth and made up a lie to get it for himself. You can read about him in 2 Kings chapter 5. So as she walked closer toward Gehazi and toward the king, a wicked man, she might have wondered if she was doing the right thing. But exactly, when she arrived, her and her son, Gehazi, was telling that story of her and her son. Right at that moment. And then, as she approached, Gehazi looked, we just read it, and he said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son whom Elijah restored to life." And all she had to say when the king looked at her and said, "Is that you?" And she said, "Yes, it's me." And then immediately, the king commanded to restore to her all that was hers and of her property. And did you notice also? And the proceeds from her field throughout 7 years of profit. Isn't that what it says? Restored her all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left her land until now. Wow. She couldn't have taken better care of her land herself. Look what God did for that woman through these other men. And what a blessing. But do you see God's perfect timing? Perfect timing. She had faith, that woman. She really did have faith. God knows the end from the beginning. His ways are past finding out. Psalm 103 and verse 11 says, "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above and beyond our ways." Romans 8:28 is true, that all things work together for good to them that love God. What about you today? Are you anxious about anything in your life? Perhaps God is 7 years ahead of you, like he was for this woman. He has a plan. He has a plan. And he's working it out. We just need to trust God and thank him for his plan. How wise was God's plan in this woman's life? She couldn't have managed her profits any better. This king provided for her all that she needed and more that day. But you know, if you read about that woman, the Shunammite, 2 Kings chapter 4, you know what? She was faithful to God when times were tough. And she had her husband build a little extra room on for Elisha. And God remembered her faithfulness. God remembered her faithfulness. And God did it with perfect timing. Let's look down at King David's story. King David, 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're breaking into the story, verses 11 to 18. "Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk water for 3 days and three nights. Then David said unto him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion of the south area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." David said to him, "Can you take me down to this troop?" So he said, "Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop." And when he had brought him down, there they were, spread out all over the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped, except 400 young men who rode upon camels and fled. So David recovered all. David was fearful of Saul. He fled for his life to the Philistines' country. Even though Saul wanted to kill David, God was wonderfully protecting him, even in Judah. But David thought he would be safer among the Philistines. Then David got friendly with Achish, the king of the Philistine city Gath. And Achish gave David this city of Ziklag. And one day, while David was pretending to be faithful to Achish, the city of Ziklag was burned to the ground. The wives and families of David and his men were taken away as slaves. And David's men were so angry that they spoke about stoning David. What a lesson for us today. If God's people compromise with the wicked, we can easily put at risk the ones we love. That's a lesson for David about Ziklag. But the scriptures say David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And he prayed, "Lord, what is your will?" And God led David and his men to where this Egyptian that we're reading about had been discarded carelessly by his Amalekite master. Just think, this Egyptian got sick, and he was left by his Amalekite master. Makes you think of Satan. How does he care about those that get hurt through his vices? This poor Amalekite was left to die. But do you know something? This man's sickness and forsakenness was all part of the Lord's plan to rescue David's family and the families of David's men. God is so far ahead of our lives in the plans that he has for us. Did you hear that? Do I believe that? God is far ahead in our lives in the plans that he has for you, for me, for what he's trying to accomplish. He knows we make mistakes. I think David made a mistake by leaving Israel. And going, I would have maybe done the same thing. But he certainly made a mistake when he was talking to Achish and saying, "Oh yeah, I'm your servant." No, not really. And he paid for it. But his family was paying for this. His wife paid for this. But then God had mercy on him, you see. Look how wonderfully God had mercy. Imagine how David's men felt when they heard this man on the road say,
We burn Ziklag with fire.
Boy, couldn't they have felt vengeful or even hatred toward that guy? Actually, this man was the man God had provided who would lead them speedily down the right track to recover all that they'd lost. God's wisdom. It was perfect timing. It was perfect timing meeting that guy. God knew, and God had provided that man. And he led them, and David was led to take vengeance on the Amalekites and win victory. And as a matter of fact, at the end of 1 Samuel 30, David is recorded giving back to the people of Judah what the Amalekites had stolen from them. David turned to God in his time of crisis, and within days after, he made a full recovery. And regarding all their stolen good, verse 19, 1 Samuel 30, 19 says, "And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything they had taken, but David recovered all. And he gave Judah back what was taken away from them." He sent gifts to them all. Man, God knew what he was doing, you see? And God had perfect timing, right at the right moment. There's an Egyptian to lead them in victory against the enemy and recover everything. I think that's a wonderful God, don't you? Perfect timing. Do you have a God working on your behalf like that? Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, God says, "Call unto me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." What a promise from God for me today, for you today. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Do you know God has a purpose for your life, which is to glorify him? I've talked before about the little singing canaries that we have. When they sing, they're doing exactly what God created them for. They're doing it in their full volume. These little things can go on for so long. God has a desire for you. When we turn over our life to the Lord in sincerity, oh, he wants you to glorify him. Let's consider our third passage about perfect timing. And we're thinking now about the thief's story from Luke chapter 23 and verses 39-44. The thief's story. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed the Lord Jesus, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." He said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It's important to know that in Mark's gospel, chapter 15 and verse 32, we read that both of the thieves reviled Jesus. But something changed the heart of one of those thieves. Something changed the heart of one of those things. So you ask me, well, what changed the heart of one of those thieves? And I say to you, that's a good question that you asked. And I don't really know the answer. But in verse 34 of Luke 23, just five verses before the one we just read, we get a dialogue between the two thieves and the Lord. And before that, we read in Luke 23, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Is it possible that those incredible words from the mouth of the Lord Jesus, is it possible that those words changed the heart of that other thief? I think so. The greatest prayer ever uttered. The Son of God requesting forgiveness for them. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Them. Them who pounded nails into his hands and feet. Father, forgive them. Them who spat upon him and ridiculed him with a cruel crown of thorns. Them who gambled for his clothing. Father, forgive them. This was the greatest and most incomprehensible example of grace that the world has ever known, or will ever know, or ever has seen. Father, forgive them. Not Father, judge them. What if he had said that? Father, judge them. The whole globe would have blown up, maybe. Father, forgive them. You think of thousands of angels and of a righteous God looking onto that scene at that moment. Father, forgive them. Wow. The Lord Jesus, the just one, praying for us, the unjust. Father, forgive them. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ prayed for his tormentors. Them. The them included David Ray. The them included you. Father, forgive them. Did you ever put your name in there? Father, forgive Al. Oh, this. There are thousands of sins I've done that I don't know what I do. Secret sins. But only Christ can forgive them. I won't be answerable for them if I've accepted his salvation. There are many others that I did know what I was doing, but he forgave them all. Father, forgive them. Well, that thief realized he was among the them also. The thief realized it, and the light turned on in his soul. And he said, "We indeed deserve our condemnation as due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." The Lord Jesus was totally sinless, and only the sinless, spotless Lamb of God could take away the sin of the world. He took away my sin. He prayed. He paid the penalty for your sin. And may you know him as my Savior today. Notice that the thief acknowledged his guilt. He said, "We deserve. We deserve what we're getting." Notice that the thief acknowledged Christ's sinlessness. "This man has done nothing amiss." Notice that the thief addressed Jesus as Lord. Ah, have you done that? If you'll confess Jesus as Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved, is God's promise. Romans 10, 9 and 10. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Notice that the thief acknowledged Christ's own future in Christ's own coming kingdom. So he expressed faith in Christ's resurrection. He did. Amazing what that thief seemed to know, what was revealed to him. So then comes a moment of God's perfect timing. That man forever is going to be glad he was on the cross by Jesus. Think of it. Perfect timing. The Lord Jesus said to him, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Oh, you mean I don't have to suffer on this cross for another day or two, which could have happened? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. That was perfect timing for that fella to hear that message, I'll tell you. How wonderful. Perfect timing. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May today be a day in your life of perfect timing. The Lord confirmed to you the truth of His salvation in a way that refreshes your soul and you're right with God. And it's a perfect timing in your life today, hearing His voice for His assurance and guidance. On your note page there, page 2, again afterward, it says, "Also see the God of perfect timing." And there's another example. I'm running out of time. Peter, Acts 10, 17, perfect timing. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 38, perfect timing. You start looking for it, you'll see a lot of God's perfect timing in His own precious word. So God is a God of perfect timing. And just for good measure, at the bottom there, do you see? He is also the God of truth. He's the God of peace. He's the God of hope. How we need that. He's the God of all comfort. Romans 15:5, He's the God of patience and consolation. 1 Peter 5:10, He's the God of all grace. I really like that last one. He's the God of love. The God of love. You need love in your life, grace in your life, patience in your life, hope. Lord, fill me. What a God we have to serve. I think we just close in prayer now. Father, we are thankful today as we gather. We're letting Thine own precious word speak to our souls. And how wonderful to know that Thou art truly the God of perfect timing. And probably there are many here who could say, oh, what happened to them and how God helped them in a moment of crisis. Lord, how we thank You for Your goodness. And now we just pray that You'll continue to bless Your word and help us to study it more and love it and strengthen our faith in Thee. Help us, Father, to go out and preach the good hope of truth of the gospel to others. And be steadfast and unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. And again, Father, if there are any that are here who need to get something right in their life with God, Lord, speak to them today. Father, that we all might genuinely get down on our knees before Thee and be serious about living for Thy glory. Thank You again for this testimony. Bless all that are gathered here. Take us to our homes in safety now, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank You for listening. The Lord bless you.